know him, that you know that. Amen. You know who Jesus is. I'm starting a new series of messages today in the book of Colossians. The Old Testament book, Paul's letter to the church at Colossia. A series of messages entitled, Christ is All in All. Colossians chapter 1, and we're just going to look at the first two verses as a way of introduction today to the book of Colossians and what Paul is saying to this church at Colossia. I'm going to give you a little bit of background and some things today, and then I want to look at these first two verses as Paul introduces himself to this church at Colossia, and then as he begins to address those people there. Now, you must understand, first of all, let's read the text this morning, and then I want to give you some things, maybe to help you understand Paul's letter. I love to read the letters of Paul. I love to think about Paul. You ever think about Paul much? Dwell on Paul some, and what he must have faced, and the people he must have faced, and the time that he spent by himself. He spent a lot of time by himself. He would spend in jail, in house arrest, in prisons. He spent a lot of time just between him and the Lord. And he used that time as valuable time. He never felt sorry for himself. At least if he did, he never showed it. Amen. And I'm sure he got discouraged, and I'm sure he got lonely, and I'm sure he got frustrated. But he was about the Father's business. There's a difference when your heart and your mind and your desire is set to do the things of God. The things of the world do not disturb you. We must, as Christian people today, not let the world's opinion, not let the opinion of our leadership keep us down and keep us out of the work of God. If Paul would have quit the first time he got discouraged, you would never be reading the book of Colossians today, or any of them. Because it didn't take long after his encounter on Damascus Road that discouragement kicked in. Didn't take long. And I find out in this world today that there's people that have ill intentions. They're not about the gospel whatsoever. And they're out to discourage the cause of the gospel. If you let that bother you, you'll soon be out of it. You'll soon not be preaching the gospel. You'll soon not be sitting and listening to the gospel. You'll become discouraged. Paul writes a letter to a church. I'm going to describe a little bit about this city. Not much. I'm just going to give you a couple facts. But Paul will write a letter to a church, and the purpose of the letter is to put Christ in his proper place. Is to put Christ where he belongs. By the way, church, Christ belongs in a certain place today. He belongs at the head of the church. Number one in our lives. Number one in everything we do. Christ ought to have the preeminence. If he doesn't, he's not in his proper place. Christ needs to be number one. Whatever you've got on the agenda, whatever it is you've got to do, listen, Christ better be number one. Now, let's read this. Let's read these two verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossia, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as far as we're going today, I'm going to break that down for you just in a minute as a way of introduction to this series of messages. The book of Colossians, the church at Colossians. Let me give you just something here. Back in the book of Acts, I think it's chapters 19 through about 21, you'll learn of Paul's ministry in a place called Ephesus. Paul would spend 3 years in Ephesus preaching the gospel. Now, in that crowd there in Ephesus, there'll be a man by the name of Epaphras. And he'll get saved under the ministry of the preaching of the apostle Paul there in Ephesus. Now, Epaphras will go back to a little town called Colossia. By the way, Colossia is located 100 miles from Ephesus in a trio of cities located there. You'll find Colossia, you'll find Hierapolis, and Laodicea. Paul will mention Laodicea in his letter to the church at Colossia. He'll mention Hierapolis. But Epaphras will go back to this little town called Colossia. By the way, at one time, Colossia was a thriving city. But by the time Paul writes the letter, it's deteriorated down to almost nothing. Just a little small town, really. But in it is a thriving church. And this Epaphras will go back to Colossia and he'll start a church there. He becomes the pastor of that church there, the overseer of that church there in Colossia. And he'll spend that time there. But trouble shows up in the church. Problems show up. False doctrine shows up in the church. Gnosticism shows up. Christ is not where he belongs. Oh, he's a good man, but he's not the Son of God. It has infiltrated the church. Now, it'll discourage this preacher. It'll discourage Epaphras, and he'll go back on a search for Paul. He needs some help from this great man of God. Let me tell you something, folks. There's nothing wrong today in seeking help from the man of God. The devil will discourage you. People will discourage you. But God always has a man that'll help you. And that was Paul to this man called Epaphras. He'll go and find him. And you know where he'll find him at? He'll find him under house arrest in a place called Rome. Now, while under house arrest in Rome here, Epaphras will come back. But not only that, while here in Rome, Paul will write three letters. He'll write three letters while under house arrest in Rome. He'll write one to Colossian church. He'll write one to the church at Ephesus. And then he'll write a letter to a friend of his by the name of Philemon. Because there, while he's under house arrest in Rome, he's going to meet a runaway slave by the name of Onesimus. He's going to be on the run, Onesimus says, running from his duties, running and escaping. But he runs right in, bless God, to the man of God. He wasn't intending on running into Paul, but boy, he runs right into Paul. He met Paul, and Paul begins to do what Paul does best. He begins to preach about Jesus Christ. And no doubt he told him about a Damascus Road experience and when he got saved. I know he began to tell Onesimus all these things. And Onesimus probably like we were. What's it? He probably said, sit down and listen, boy. He begins to tell him. And you know what happens to Onesimus? He gets saved. Amen. He gets saved. Paul writes a letter back to Philemon, which, by the way, has a church in his house. And he writes a letter back to Philemon. And the gist, you know the gist of the letter. The gist of it is this: what was no good to you now is good. Amen. That's what the gospel does. It takes the vile and makes it clean. It takes the no good and makes it good. Amen. And so he'll write that letter to Philemon while under house arrest in Rome. Well, we're dealing with Colossia. He'll write those letters to Ephesus. He'll write a letter to the Colossian church. Epaphras comes. And by the way, let me tell you something about Epaphras. When he gets there, he gets himself put in jail. Now, follow me. He gets himself arrested so he can be in bonds with Paul. Now read Colossians. By the time you get to the chapter 4 of Colossians, Epaphras is going to spend some time in jail with Paul. He hasn't done anything wrong. But he puts himself in there because he wants to be with that man of God. And so he'll spend some time with Paul there under house arrest. In the meantime, Paul is going to send these letters back. He sends a letter back to Philemon. Guess who's going to take the letter back to Philemon? Onesimus. Huh? The one who ran away. And then there's a man by the name of Tychicus. He'll take a letter to the church at Ephesus. Then he'll take a letter to the church at Colossia that that Paul has written. Now, Epaphras is there with Paul under house arrest. He'll send that back. The problem going on in Colossae, false doctrine had infiltrated the church. I told you that. Christ did not have his proper place. Oh, they thought he was a good man. By the way, there's many religions today would classify Christ as a good man. They were simply teaching there in Colossae that Christ was a good man, but he was not the Son of God. We must understand today, church, that Christ is preeminent. He is above all. He is in all. He is superior to all. He is all in all. He can have no other place. He deserves no other place. He must be superior. And I can't understand these religions today that says, I believe everybody, every one of them will tell you they believe in Christ. But they don't believe in him as the Son of God. They believe him as a good man. Paul would write this letter to Colossae. He's going to set the record straight here in this letter that he's writing. And to help them understand, Christ needs to be all in all. He stands alone by himself. He is the only way to salvation this morning. If you're looking for salvation in any other, you're not going to find it. He is the only way to be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. They had to understand that. You and I must understand that. Without that, we are in trouble. And Paul will spend his time writing this letter after he gets the news from Epaphras of what's going on in Colossae, of the false doctrine. Now, I want us to look at these first two verses and just simply for a few moments look at how Paul starts this letter. He starts it similar to the way he starts about all of them. But notice what he says. I love to read his letters because, let me tell you, Paul knew his place in the gospel. Paul knew who he was. Paul said, I'm the least. One, he said, as one born out of due time, didn't he? He didn't deserve, Paul knew this, and Paul would tell you, I don't deserve the grace of God that he gives to me. Because you know who he was, where he started. He was Saul. He was sitting there at the stoning of Stephen, holding the garments, you remember? While they would kill that man of God, and he was loving every minute of it. But down deep, I talked this morning in Sunday school about a desire. But down deep in this man called Saul, there was a different desire planted. Oh, God had to awaken that desire, didn't he? I talked this morning in Sunday school about pastors and preachers. Not everybody's called to be a preacher. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. You see, that call starts with a desire that God puts in your heart. God changes our desire. We no longer have a desire to do what we thought we were supposed to do. God changes our desire. Paul, down deep, even at that stoning of Stephen, was a desire about to be awakened. Was a desire about to come to the forefront. And on the way to Damascus, God woke it up. Amen. He found the Lord on the road to Damascus. And from that point on, he was never the same. Amen. He counted all joy to suffer for the cause of Christ. But now you find him under house arrest, writing letters. And by the way, Paul never would visit the church of Colossae. He didn't start it, but that didn't mean he didn't have a desire to go to it. But as circumstance would have it, Paul would never visit the church of Colossae. But he would send them a letter. And oh, what a powerful letter it is. Now I want you to look at how he introduces himself. We're going to look at two things. We're going to look at how Paul introduces himself to these people, and the people that he has introduced himself to. Now look here. Look at how Paul wanted them to know who he represented. Not who he was, who he was coming on business for. So many people today forget that they represent the Lord Jesus Christ. They forget. And when you leave church, you still are a representative of the Lamb of God. Amen. You still represent Christ to a world in need of Christ. You are still his representative. Even if you find yourself in dire straits, even if you find yourself in a place you don't want to be, you are still a child of God. Sometimes our talk don't show it. Sometimes the people we hang out with don't show it. And sometimes our anger don't show it. We are still representing the Lamb of God today, church, when we leave the church house. Paul wanted them to know he was on business for the king. Many people today want to be seen for self-glorification. Want to be seen. Did you come to church today to be seen? Or did you come to church to praise God? There's a difference there. Amen. You may not remember, let me tell you something today. You may not remember my name or even what I look like. That might be a good thing. But please, please remember this Jesus that I tell you about. You remember him. You remember what this Bible tells you today. I cannot do anything for your soul, but this Jesus I tell you about can. Amen. Amen. This Jesus I tell you about can change your entire lifetime, can change your entire lifestyle, and most definitely can change your destination. Amen. Not me. I can't do nothing but tell you what the Bible says. But boy, if you believe what the Bible says, he'll change your direction. Amen. Paul wanted these people to know quickly that he came on authority from Jesus Christ. Do people know today, know that we are authority of Jesus Christ? Do they know that we are saved? Do they know that we are children of the Lamb when the world sees you coming? Do they know you're bringing Jesus with you? They should. They should see it all over you. This is the one thing that Paul made very clear. And let me tell you something else. It didn't matter who was around him. Didn't matter who was around him, whether they liked it or not. He was an ambassador. He was an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number one. He says, Paul, and the first thing I want you to look at, Paul, an apostle. Now, you know what the word apostle means? The word apostle means one who is sent, a messenger, an ambassador, one sent out on commission. Paul wanted these people at Colossae and all these other churches. Paul wanted these people who had never met him. I don't even know if they'd heard about him. Possibly, but they had never met him in any form or any fashion. And he wanted these people who had never met him to understand he was coming on business from someone else. He was coming on business from Jesus Christ. He had a message from Christ to give them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, Paul says this, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." We are ambassadors today. We are ambassadors for Christ. Share the good news of Christ. We have a responsibility to bring Christ to the front in everything we do. It is our purpose. When Paul got saved, his purpose changed. His purpose changed. Whatever Paul was doing before, he no longer done. Amen? His purpose changed and he went another direction. And boy, did he go. You see, you and I have the responsibility today to bring Christ to the forefront of everything we do. It is more than just a Sunday morning type of business. It's an everyday business. Matter of fact, you could go on and say, every hour business, Christ ought to be in the midst. Amen? Aren't you glad that during your sleeping hours, Christ is in the midst? Amen? Think about that. Every hour of every day, Christ is in our midst. And we don't always recognize Him and we don't always seek Him. But Christ is always there in our midst. And we ought to praise God when we get up of the morning. We ought to praise Him for the beautiful day set out before us. If you wake up and your eyes open up and you see the sunshine, well, you ought to just thank God. Amen. I know sometimes we get up grumpy, grouchy. Sometimes hard to get up. But I'll tell you what you can do is in the morning when you get up a smiling. Amen. Get a hold of the Word of God. If you can only just read a little short passage. Oh, there's joy in it. Amen. And we ought to thank God for every moment we have. Time is so quickly fleeting by. It's amazing to me how fast time is passing on. And many people are missing stuff. Many people are missing things. Sunday morning, we ought to come to church. And by the way, I wish we had this many people in Sunday school. Amen. We're getting a whole lot of them. We study the Word of God in Sunday school. Amen. We study God's Word. It ought to be in our hearts. Man, I want to get all I can get. I think that's the way Paul was. I want to get all I can get about this Jesus that has changed my life. He changed me. He gave me a purpose. Now I want to know all I can about that purpose He has given me. You see, Paul has given his authority title. Paul had seen the risen Savior. Paul was born too late to be one of the 12, but Christ revealed himself to Paul, and Paul became an ambassador for Christ. Today, you and I have been introduced to Christ. Thus, we become apostles of Jesus Christ. Now, second of all, Paul wanted them to understand where his calling came from. Notice what he said in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, here it is, by the will of God. By the will of God. What is he saying? Listen, Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ, and Paul became a servant of Jesus Christ by the will of God. God planted that desire down deep in that man's heart. Boy, when it came to forefront, it changed him. You see, Paul, when he got saved, of course his name got changed to Paul. He got saved through and through. And by the way, let me tell you something. Paul got saved the same way you and I got saved. Amen. He got saved by grace, by believing. Amen. Paul became a person who sought the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. His life became dedicated to doing that would be accepted in the presence of God. You know, my prayer is all the time as I study God's Word and as I get into God's Word, my prayer all the time is, God, make me accepted in the presence of God. I don't want to say nothing that will derogatory the Word of God in any way. Lord, make me accepted in the presence of God. Fill my mouth with that. That'll glorify God. We began to seek God. Paul began to seek God and the things of God. We should have that desire. 2 Corinthians 5 and 9, the Bible says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. You got to remember, Paul will never look at these people. He will write them this letter. But whether he ever goes or not, he wants to be accepted of God in the work of God. Thirdly, we find in this verse, Paul's calling was a divine calling. You see, Paul was not called by the 12. He wasn't called by his family. He wasn't called by people. He was called by God. You see, Paul disclaims any effort on his part and the people around him. He wanted God to be glorified. He wanted Christ to be honored. And so he cleared himself of self and let God have his way. Let me tell you, church, what's wrong with a lot of people today. We can't get self out of the way. Amen. God doesn't get glorified in the things we do because we're glorifying self. And if we're glorifying self, God doesn't have his place. You see, we need to give God first place and then he'll add the blessings to us. You see, that's a hard thing to understand. That's a hard thing for people to grasp. Because you know why? We're born into selfishness. We're born in this world. You don't think you're born into selfishness? You watch little babies. Hear them? You watch little babies. When they get up old enough to get a hold of things, they ain't going to share with you or anybody else. Amen? It's mine. It's all mine. They can have 100 toys, and they're holding one, but you go pick up another one. It belongs to them as well. You see, we're born with that mentality that I am number one. I should have it all. But let me tell you something. When it comes to Christ, you got to lose that. Christ should get it all. Christ should be number one. Christ should be at the forefront. And then Christ will add to us what we need. Amen. Paul didn't really want nothing in this life but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. That's what he said. That's all he wanted. His calling was from God, and he wanted to please God, and he wasn't worried about really pleasing the people around him. Though Paul loved the people, you find many times that he prays for them and cries over them and fears for them. But if they didn't like him, he was going on with Jesus just the same. Amen. And our desires are the same. And my desire is that people will love God and love the house of God and love the preacher of God. But if you don't love the preacher and you don't love what he says, he's going on with Jesus just the same. Amen. He's going to carry on because that's what he tells me to do. Paul wanted God to be glorified, Jesus to be honored. Today we must give God glory and praise. Listen, nothing good can come from us. It must come from God. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot keep ourselves. But God has an eternal plan that works. Amen. God has a plan that works. It worked in the Apostle Paul's life. It'll work in my life. It'll work in your life. Amen. Number four, Paul mentions a faithful companion here in this verse. Guess who he mentions? See, look who he mentions. Old Timothy. Timotheus. Timothy. Paul's son in the faith. Paul was a mentor to Timothy. We talked about that this morning. You see, Paul, what a mentor. My goodness, can you imagine having a mentor like the Apostle Paul? I mean, man. But we find him many places in the Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, unto Timothy he says, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Over there in verse 18 of chapter 1, 1 Timothy. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, he calls him, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, he says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful, he says, in the Lord, who shall bring you to remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul didn't change his message to suit the crowd. Paul preached the same message and the crowd had to turn around. Amen. Everywhere he preached Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. Amen. And they had to do something with it. You see, in Timothy, he's encouraging him, my beloved son in the faith, you do the same. And you young preachers, if you're in the crowd today, let me tell you what, don't give ear to what the world says. You give ear to what God says. And if the world don't like it, they'll find a place to settle in. But as for me and my house, we're going to stay in the grand old book. And we're going to serve the same God. Well, bless God, we're going to preach Jesus Christ and coming again. Amen. Whew. Huh. If you don't like it, you can find you a liberal post. They're all over the place. Amen. That's right. But I'm telling you, we're going to stick with the stuff. Because I have found there is no other way. It doesn't work for me. It does not work for me. I can't be happy with it. We need people who have made up their minds to be faithful to the work of the Lord. Amen. We don't need wishy-washy. We don't need maybe. We need people to get a good hold and say, let's go. You know what I'm saying, church? You know what I'm saying today? That's what we got to do. Yeah. Yeah, we're at verse number 2. It's just introduction. We'll be spending the next several weeks in the book of Colossians. Verse number 2. Look who he's addressing. Look here who he's addressing. Number 1, he says, to the saints. Saints. You know what that word means? Sacred. Physically pure. Morally blameless. Separated ones. Holy ones. Saint is a Godward word. It's us to Godward. We are saints to God, because of the blood of the Lamb, when we get saved, we become saints of God. The world didn't do that. Man didn't do that. That's why it's a Godward word. You can't be a saint until you know God, till you know Jesus Christ. The only way to be a saint of God is to be a born-again believer of Jesus Christ. Then you become a saint of God. There's no other way you can get there. Amen. Paul's addressing born-again believers. Those that have made their mind up. Hey, he's not addressing a special group in the church. He's not addressing a special group in the community. He's addressing born-again blood wars people. Amen. That's it. Born-again believers. It's a Godward word. We are separated by God to the work of God. Second of all, he mentions faithful brethren. That's a manward word. When you become a saint of God, by the way, you can't be a faithful brethren until you first become a saint of God. You have to first become a saint of God. And then you become a faithful brethren. You see, faithful brethren, like I said, it's a manward word. Hey, we are faithful to the things of God. We are faithful to the people of God. We are faithful to the house of God. You see, when you become a saint, it changes the way you look at people. It changes the way you look at the Bible. It changes the way you look at the church. It changes the way you do things. where you live. Amen. You become a faithful brethren. Faithful to pray. Do you pray for each other? Do you pray for those in need? Do you pray for those who are not in need? Do you pray for the one beside you? Do you pray for your preacher? Do you pray for the church? That's a faithful brethren. To pray and to lift a helping hand along the way. Are you faithful? Are you trusting? Are you trustworthy? God would have us to be faithful, wouldn't he? Not only faithful, he'd have us to be trustworthy when we handle the things of God. And this can only be done, notice what he says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. Only one way. Through Christ. Our source of strength, our source of help, our only hope is Christ Jesus. Now, those that are in Christ can find some things. He mentions them right here. Look here. Look, and I'll be finished. Look here what he says. To the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, here they are. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are in Christ, we find some things. We find grace. God gives us what we do not deserve. We don't deserve God's grace. No way and no how, but God gives us his amazing grace. When we come to him in salvation, God gives us grace. Then he gives us mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is God withholding what we deserve. Amen? God withholding the punishment that you and I should get. He took it upon himself. That's the mercy of God. And he mentions peace. You see, the saints and the faithful brethren have something the world around them doesn't have. That is peace with God. Peace of God. Available to every saint and every faithful brethren. Now I'm going to spend some time here for a while in this great book of Colossians. Christ is all in all. He must have the preeminence in this church, in our lives, in our homes. He must have first place. But I want you to hopefully stay with me through this series. A wonderful book of the Bible. I'd encourage you to go home and read the book of Colossians. It's only 4 chapters. Go home and read it. And you'll see some of the things I was telling you about. You'll find Epaphras mentioned there. You'll find Laodicea mentioned in there. And Hierapolis. Paul writing to people he never met. Because a man of God, commissioned by God, that's Epaphras, run into problems, and he found Paul in Rome. Let me say this to you today. There's nothing wrong if you run into problems finding a man of God or a woman of God and getting some help. Amen? Getting some help. You need faithful brethren. I need faithful brethren. Amen? And if we're saints of God, we'll be faithful brethren. That's who Paul's addressing in that church. He wasn't addressing the wishy-washers. Paul wasn't addressing those that were wishy-washy. He knew they wasn't going to be there when things got tough. Amen? Paul wasn't addressing those who were floating in and out. No, because he knew they wasn't going to be there when times got tough. He was addressing those that made their mind up to serve God. You are the people I want to talk to. The rest of them got to learn something. Amen. I'm telling you today, Christian, we can't be a wishy-washy Christian. We can't be in a while and out a while. We got to get in there because somebody might just need your help. Somebody might need you when their faith becomes weak. We need to get all in this thing. Amen. I mean, get all in. Jump right in. If it gets messy, get messy with it. Amen. That's right now. Get all in. You know, some people kind of just put their foot in the water. Ooh, it's too hot in there. I ain't going. I'm telling you the truth. Or, man, it's too cold. Get in. Get in. Now, I'll promise you this. I think Paul would have told him this. As long as I'm allowed to stand here, I'm going to give you the truth of God's word. Now, if you don't like that, then I guess you have the power to boot me out. And that's all right, if that's what you want. But it ain't going to change this preacher's mind. Amen. If I don't do it here, I'll do it somewhere. I guarantee it. Because that's the desire God's put in me. And that's the way it's got to be. Gary, let's come and sing today. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior,